Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Meet Cale Atkinson, artist, animator, explorer of the wild. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 255 of the podcast with Cale Atkinson, author, illustrator of Explorers of the Wild. Cale's newest book is about going on an adventure and discovering new things about yourself and the world around you. But it's also about the adventures that we share with others. If this weren't enough, Cale's illustrations are lush and alive. It's easy for the reader to feel they've stepped out of their space and into the woods. I hope you enjoy the adventure. Here is episode number 255 of the podcast with Cale Atkinson. Welcome back to the podcast, Cale Atkinson!
Woo! Nice to be here again. I like what you've done with the place.
Well, thank you. I always try to, you know, bring out the nice furniture for when my friends from Canada come to visit.
I like to think you've gotten, like, All the Wonders, like, new couch since, like, I think last time when I was on it, it wasn't All the Wonders yet, so
no,
it's, like,
we call it the Wonder Couch.
Ooh, I like it. Very good. Very soft.
No, it's been, I think we've both been on journeys of our own, and I'm glad that the road has kept us sort of side by side over these adventures.
Yeah, and it's amazing to be back on here when it's been, it's not even been a year, but it feels like it's been like 2 or 3 years.
It feels like it's been ages.
Yeah. It really does. But I really want to thank you for having me on again too.
Well, you are a guy, with whom I feel very closely connected with because of the books that you write. And, you know, you're coming back to share this next book, Explorers of the Wild. And I know you've heard this from me, but I felt right away a closeness to this story. I think probably you and I probably had very similar childhoods, or we just share sort of this really great emotional thread. But I like what you do. And so I'm always glad to get to catch up with you. It's always wonderful.
Yeah, no, I always love, it's always good times chatting, always fun. I'm really excited that you enjoyed Explorers as well, because I was like, it's always that anticipation, you know, when you have your next thing,
or yeah.
Like, okay, how are other people going to react to it, it's super exciting.
How is everyone going to react to a boy and a bear out in the woods alone?
My biggest worry initially, like after I had the book and it was being pitched and stuff, I really wanted it to be like a boy and a bear, but I was worried that the feedback that was going to come back was we can't have kids going into the woods and trying to become friends with bears. And
fair,
I was like, I don't want to make it like a little bird or something. I want it to be a bear.
I think that a bear is a good match. And I think that
I think that the spirit is there to be adorable. Actually, one of the things I really admire most about this book, though, is that it feels like someone authored it and someone else illustrated it and interpreted the manuscript in like a whole new way.
That's really interesting.
In the way that you've got this wonderful, well, I should let you tell what the story is to begin with, but just in the way that the way you've positioned the art tells the story of two different characters finding one another, but the text itself just feels like a thing that an explorer has on his or her heart as they go out exploring the unknown, and they have sort of this statement that they proclaim. Yeah, I like it. I think it's fun. Kale, tell the good people what Explorers of the Wild is all about.
Okay, Explorers of the Wild. So, kind of like we touched on, it's a story that follows a boy and a bear, and they both love the outdoors. They both love adventuring and exploring and finding things and just like tracking their little discoveries and everything that's out there. And the one thing that they never ever expected to discover was each other when they're running around. And so then it's kind of like, well, how are they going to react to each other? They thought they were prepared for anything. They have all their gear. But this is something they never expected. And then it's kind of about that kind of underlining theme of just because someone or something could look unbelievably different than you or be different than you, it doesn't mean that inside they aren't exactly the same as you. And so it's kind of about getting over that initial fear of something different and realizing what you have in common. And so then these two explorers find that each one loves the same thing, and now they can do it together.
I think that these companions are really, I think that they're really perfectly matched. And I think that is a testament to your tempering your art as you've worked with these characters. But to have, may I read your book to you, Kale?
Ooh, yeah, you may. I have not had this happen to me before, so this is a great first.
I won't read the whole thing, but I will read the beginning to get that sense of this voice running through it and showing with each line a different character. But then toward the end, I want to read my favorite passage too. So it starts, "I love to explore. It's my favorite thing to do. There are so many neat things to see, like over there, and so many strange things to find, like under here." And as we read this, we see a boy exploring a forest and seeing animals go past, and a bear exploring under logs and all of this. And it's great. And ultimately, these, as you said, there is an encounter where they find each other. And this, Kale, this is where I saw your heart, and I loved it. It says, "Together, we found things to touch, things to see, things to hear, and even things to taste." Well, kind of. "No discovery was too small to share, and no mountain was too big to conquer. This was our day. This was our adventure." Dude, I love your book. Oh, so
yeah,
good.
I'm so happy. Like those last two lines were the last two lines added to the book. And I was like toiling to get those right and what I want to show, because it's like a little montage and it's showing them on this grand adventure together. And I didn't want it to be too wordy, but I wanted it to feel, I don't know, I don't want to use the word epic because I hate that word now, but I wanted it to feel very grand and like it was this great adventure they're on, and kind of and making it feel grand to them. So I'm really stoked that you like that line.
Yeah, I mean, it is in the illustration a moment where they have gone through the woods and they look up at this giant peak, and in those lines they climb it and reach the top together. And it's sort of this moment of being apart exploring and then coming together for a moment before ultimately the story winds down and they find themselves saying goodbye for perhaps another adventure. But there's so much at work here, Kale. There's so much at play that I love. And one of the things right off the bat, and this is something that I admired about you Into the Sea as well, the way that the environment plays such a strong voice in your story, in your illustration, watching the sun come up over these two explorers, in the way that the background color changes from this beautiful pink to almost a green to then this orange that just feels commanding and majestic is really something that I couldn't escape. I found myself going back and back to watch the sun rise over this friendship, as it were.
Well, thanks so much. It was a lot of fun to work on for the illustrations in this one. I kind of wanted to just go not crazy, but just a little crazy with the interior illustrations, and just because it's like this lively forest and it's about exploring, and so I really wanted it to feel like full and make it something where hopefully it comes across that as if you are kind of in the woods, or there's little things to find, and make the colors vibrant and interesting, and even if they aren't maybe colors you'll actually see sometimes in the wild, but make it exciting to look at. And yeah, it was a lot of fun, and trying to make it feel like it was this adventure that was in a day, and then get the different feels within that. So like early on, they're just having a good time exploring by themselves, and then it shows them kind of in kind of the scarier parts of the woods, and how they're prepared and they're ready and not scared by it, but still trying to get the atmosphere and the mood and be able to showcase that. Was a lot of fun, and always kind of a little tricky because you're trying to play around with different color palettes, but not make it too crazy or too much where it throws you out of the story or doesn't feel connected anymore to the book. And so that's kind of one of the trickiest parts I've found.
There's so much to explore in the illustration that, yeah, finding the balance, not trying to lose yourself. But I guess, I mean,
yeah,
you go out in the woods and you do your studies for your art, and you realize that there is so much. That's sort of what the woods has to offer us, is the chance to get lost.
Yeah, it's crazy when you actually go out there and it's just like stuff on top of stuff, under stuff, over stuff, and you're like, I don't think I can draw like this because it's just going to be insane. But yeah, it is that, trying to like simplify it but make it feel full, and I tried to hide little things.
There is so much hidden in this book.
Yeah,
so much.
A lot of stuff. And I think on every spread, there should be a little snail that you can find.
The snail. I was going to say, I found the fox. That was one of
oh,
since
yeah.
We found the fox, that was one of our favorite animals to point out over and over, because our son loves to spot foxes.
Hey, all right.
Hey.
I'm glad it's in there for him.
No doubt.
I wanted to really hide like a lot of creatures. I guess take away from the story, because I didn't want every page just to be like a insane montage of animals. But still, like when you are in the forest or where you're in, I don't know, any kind of environment like that, there is a lot of life around. There's a lot of creatures around, and you're not going to see them right away. But if you kind of look close, like they're all kind of there. So it's definitely what I wanted to try to do. Again, without making it overwhelming. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, though. I love hiding little things in books and stuff.
Did this story start off as sketches, or did it start off as a manuscript?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it started off as an initial idea. And for anyone listening who, I don't know if we've mentioned it yet, but like the story pretty much all follows one voice, which is
yes.
For both characters. I can't remember if we said that or not, but so I initially had an idea that I wanted to tell a story about two very different kind of types of characters, so like a boy and a bear, but who have the exact same voice. And so as you go through the book, if you just read the manuscript, you would have no idea that it's two characters, just read the words. And so I thought that was a cool idea. And I think I thought the idea, and then I probably drew like some character sketches, which I probably still have, and they probably look quite a bit different than now. But I probably drew some characters, and then I probably went back, did some writing, and then for this one, it's probably a bit of a back and forth because the way it's broken up, where I wanted it to be like I love to explore, and then okay, well, what would the kid be doing? And then it's my favorite thing to do. Okay, what would the bear be doing? And how could I make it fit the kind of pace that I want, or how to get to the point I'm meeting. So I think it was probably a bit of back and forth.
See, that's the quality right there, though, that I was saying that feels as if it is an illustrator illustrating somebody else's work, an author's work, and I like that, that you're, as an artist and a storyteller, approaching it with that sensibility of interpreting text a different way, that it, to read that text by itself does just feel like one person's voice, but in this way, and in the way that you tell it, in the way that we have these two different characters, it is both of their voices at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was a cool idea that I don't know if it probably has been done at some point somewhere. I just hadn't really seen it, and I just love that idea. And then how do you show it visually? And I thought it'd be really cool. Which I'm not sure if it reads in the book. Hopefully it does. But it's like even in the pages I tried to make this like a tree right there, like a border that separates both scenes. So.
Yeah.
You have kind of this, yeah, different scene for each character and have it broken up so that it works a bit better and can kind of show that separation and stuff.
Well, until they meet and then you have that great thing that happens that they're face to face and they're saying about being scared, and you know, all the while in the beginning you have all these I statements and I want to do this and I like to do that. And then when they meet, you have a moment where they're together where it is we are both explorers and this is our favorite thing to do. And there is, it's reflected in that language that there is a togetherness where they are of like mind and of like, you know, journey.
Yeah. That kind of coming together point. It was always the hope that it would come across good and kind of that when they finally actually come together unexpectedly, like that middle border thing kind of disappears for the first time, showing that they're actually like in the same woods or in the same environment and breaking that and then trying to, I guess, show like, okay, well, what is going to happen after that meeting and where is it going to go from there? And that was some of the stuff in the early stages that had like more stuff in and out when we were working on it, and I had different sketches and it was a little bit more prolonged at times, then we cut it back, and that was the thing trying to get right, like how to make it feel like you know, they're bumping into each other and they're super freaked out because they don't know what the other one's going to do or what the other one's like, and then to have that almost that pause go through each one of their heads and realize that the other one is just like them. They're both explorers. They both have a little exploring stick and their gear, and trying to have that moment before they're both like super stoked and excited to go and explore together.
There are two things about the illustration that the gear, it's nice the parallel in the gear that you have, and that the boy photographs things and that the bear draws with a berry. I thought that was really fun and inventive, the berry and a stick. I thought that was cute. But I have to say that my, full disclosure, my 5-year-old noticed something about this book. We've read the early copy of the FNG a couple of times, but my son noticed whatever point about, he pointed on the cover to the cave and said, "Is that where the bear lives?" I swear to you, up until that point, I did not see that in the mountains at all, that there was a cabin in a cave. And I thought, that is awesome that in your illustration, you've worked in so many things that it is like, where is your eye going? And it reminded me when I read this book aloud to a class of children, that this is a book I really need to take my time on, because likewise, their eyes are going to go to different things. And different things among them as well, not just to what I would point out, and that I don't know, the way that you capture Kale, the way that you capture sort of an explorer nature just in the art itself, I really found it to be effective.
Well, thank you so much. You are a sweetheart, good sir.
I'm a sweetheart that doesn't notice things on the cover of books.
Okay, who knows what that is up there? that's super cool. I'm just glad that your son noticed it. I've already heard like some fun feedback of kids kind of seeing the two homes in the background, because it's on that page or on the cover, and then it's also on the copyright page, that and in another spread you can see both their little their little homes and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just fun hearing any feedback is always amazing. And just hearing like what kids or teachers or parents or whoever, what people kind of find and what they notice and then what they take away from it. And even in the ending of the book, I've heard different theories of what classes or kids have thought, like whether or not, are they ever going to see each other again? Are they going back out adventuring tomorrow? Kind of like, because I just wanted to leave it open to however anyone would want to interpret that. And I have my own idea in my head, but that's not important. And so it's cool. It's really neat to hear that stuff.
Did you explore when you were a kid? Did you grow up with any sort of woods or anything like that in your backyard?
Oh yeah. I grew up, outside of Vancouver and more in like the boonies, kind of like forests right by the ocean trails and running around and looking under rocks and finding salamanders or going on the beach and finding little crabs and doing all that stuff. And always loved the idea that there's like who knows what's like right around you,
yeah,
or right under you or right over there. And so, I mean, I love that. Like, I love just being able to see wildlife and in its natural habitat as well, not just going to like a zoo and seeing it kind of in a little cage or whatever. But actually seeing animals in their homes. And so I've always been all over that.
Yeah. I can remember going out for, we always had to do one of those projects in elementary school that was like, gather 50 different kinds of leaves and label them all. Or things like that. And my friend Jason had a big backyard, couple acres. And I remember exploring it together. And at one point we were gathering flowers or something, and we found these lady slippers, which are these gorgeous flowers, but something that was just unlike anything I'd ever seen before. Hmm. And to see it truly growing in the wild, not just in someone's garden or something, it was really something that I haven't forgotten. And all of the memories too of playing in the creek behind my grandparents' house. And I guess just at an age too, maybe this is still an age that parents allow this, but at an age that my parents just knew that I was okay, but that I could go and explore and that I'd come back.
Yeah, totally. That was like me too, where you kind of wonder, like, is that still something that parents allow or not? Because I never had any time when I was doing it where I was like, oh, it's not safe, or oh,
yeah,
you know, should have had someone there. It's always fine. I also just had to Google lady slippers because all I could picture were like a lady slippers when you said it. I gotta see what this looks like.
Was it right? Am I right? Is that what they were?
Yeah, you're right. I did not get a bunch of slippers when I lifted up. Well, actually, there's a couple. But they're very nice.
No, the flower that has like, I don't know if it's like an iris or something, but it has like a bucket underneath.
Yeah, super cool.
Pollen.
I've seen those somewhere.
Orchid. Maybe that's the word for it.
They're really cool.
A lily, orchid. Yeah, things like that, though, that were just, like, they're still in my mind. I was going to ask sort of where this idea comes from, this idea of going and exploring, and then I realized that it's you. It's no different than asking where the story of rescuing a whale would come from. You have this in your nature, in your DNA, Kale, that you are a person that I think likes to discover, but likes to have someone there to share with after you've made the discovery.
Yeah, I think so. I think, I think most people are kind of like that. I mean, maybe not everybody, but yeah, definitely. I think it's kind of has a lot of the, I think all my stories will have that. There's going to be definitely some part of me in there, whether or not it's something I've kind of lived or done or just like the feelings of it. But yeah, definitely that kind of just being able to go but have somebody to share it and enjoy it is definitely a big part of it. And because a lot of my growing up, I didn't have that, I think, too. I did like a lot of the time as well, but there was a big other half of it where it is, you're kind of more alone and then you do want that. So it's kind of putting both things together a bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, I mean, I don't know. The half of me, my brain goes to, all of the kids, because there are tons of them that will read this and will not have had the experience of exploring in the wild. And so this is sort of the way that they do it, through a book. But the other half, I think just those that there are people that like to hear stories told to them. And there are people that like to tell the stories because they've lived them or it's exciting to tell the story. and to be on that side of telling the story, I think is an exciting thing. And I think that, man, I don't know where you and these stories that you have in your head are going, in that way that you said that you think that you'll sort of have that through line in all the stories you write. But I know that following you on Instagram and knowing you as a person and the books that you've published already do sort of have that feel of wanting to go out and explore and try things and play, but to have, again, someone to have that story to share with, not to do it alone, that the individual can grow and become better and stronger and more knowledgeable and wiser. But it's, I think, through a relationship that it sort of comes together, isn't it?
I think it helps a lot. And I don't know if it's just something where I've grown to have that kind of, what you call it, like the habit of putting characters together.
Yeah.
There's something about that I definitely love is just that relationship, because then it is, how is that character going to help or hinder that other character's, you know, current problems or situations, or how are they going to play off each other? And it's something I always just love, and to just throw characters together with different relationships or different situations they're going through. So it's definitely something I enjoy doing. I don't think it'll be in all my stories exactly, which is, you know, kind of what writing and telling stories is all about, is trying different things. So I eventually have to break my habit of having a character and an animal as best friends. It's like a whale and a boy, a bear and a boy. And we'll see what happens next. But yeah, it is something I love to do. And it's just fun having those characters that can share an adventure as well, because I love drawing pictures that are kind of these grand, larger than life kind of adventures, but there's something nice about having another character there that they can play off of. So it's fun to do.
Hey, you probably finished them by now. I haven't checked up. I should see, but I know for a time you were working on some animation to promote Explorers of the Wild. Have you shared that yet?
I did just share a little GIF of some of the animation today, actually.
Sweet! I put it up on Twitter.
It's not a lot of animation, because I'm not a grand stop-motion paper animator, but it was a lot of fun, and I want to do more, because initially I wanted to do like a full animated paper cutout book trailer, kind of like To the Sea, but paper cutout stop-motion, because I love to give myself horrible challenges. And so I started doing it, and I have a good friend who does film work, so he helped a lot by bringing lights over and using his camera, and we filmed a first part of it, which I'm really happy with, but I also kind of realized how much effort and work it's going to take to do a full trailer. So what I might do, or what I'm hoping to do, is almost do like a series of like almost GIFs. Like each shot is kind of its own little looping GIF animation. And so then I could kind of put them out as I do them, instead of just trying to get to the point of having a full trailer. And I think that way I'll actually get it done.
Well, I think combined you might get a total of like quadruple the number of book trailer views too, because the kid will just watch it repeat and repeat and repeat.
That was also the kind of like thinking, I'm like, oh, it's hard to get people to click like a play button nowadays for a video. Like even if it's like 10 seconds long, it's still kind of like a question people have to ask in their mind. So a GIF now, I was like, well, you kind of see it no matter what.
Yeah, no doubt. That's awesome. Yay. Yeah,
you have to check it out.
I will. I can't wait to see all of these things applied to like some video game or something too. You've just got this sensibility to it. The design
all the
works
to play around with and stuff. I'd love to do, I mean, I don't even know, but I'd love to do more with one of these things, like the paper cutout stuff. Super fun.
Yeah.
Love to like play around in some form or another. Just cause it's that play part of it, you know, like, I love doing illustrations on the computer and the way that I do them, because I know kind of what I can do and I know how to do it. But at the same time, doing like that paper stuff for the trailer is super fun because you're actually using your hands and you're actually trying to figure out how to do something and grabbing like garbage cardboard and ripping it up and painting it. And it's just so fun and refreshing to play instead of just kind of like, you know, on the computer and painting away.
Well, I mean, maybe who knows even how it'll inform whatever your future illustrations are, but just playing like that, I mean, maybe you'll end up like photographing some future art, making like 3D scenes, or maybe you will make more GIFs, or maybe it'll just cause you to think of a different perspective. So it all counts. It's all good. Whether or not you make a fully animated book trailer or I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, it all counts. Fun stuff. It's all good. It's good to play around. It's nice. I think like it's one of those things that sometimes you forget to do, because you get so into it and there's so many things you want to do or so many things you have to do, even just with what you want to do with your own art or whatever, that you never get the time to like do that step away and actually play with something that chances are you're going to be terrible at, but you're going to have fun doing it, you know? So that's the main reason I wanted to do the trailer this way. I could do it on the computer and I know how I would do it. I can see in my head already how I would do it. It would take a long time. But it's just like, why not play around, right? Like, why not try something new?
Exactly. I mean, again, the discovery of it, the fact that you know how to do it, so it's safe. So when you try something you don't know how to do, that by putting yourself, I mean, in a small way, into some sort of like a dangerous situation. I don't know how this is going to turn out.
Yeah.
I don't know if this will be successful. I think that there's a lot of discovery and a lot of growth that happens that way.
It was me, like, you know, bringing the theme of Explorers of the Wild to like how I'm going to make the trailer. I just want it to be so universal that, you know, it was a grand plan.
There you go. Explorers of the book trailer.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, you're right. Like, that's totally kind of why I just, it's why not try something different. And that's kind of the fun is that exploring and discovery of it and being, you know, pretty bad at it, but actually learning something. Whereas otherwise you can just lay on that kind of, I don't know, that flat line of, you know, you're doing what you can do and that's all great, but you're just kind of in a flat line of nothing, like you said, dangerous, nothing where it might all go wrong or it might go all right, or, you know, happy accidents and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think that's your imparting wisdom for everyone you work with. I mean, for any artist that does the same thing over and over, any kid, any person, just why? why not explore, people? Go explore, be wild. Go make a mess.
Come on, people.
Come on, people.
Get out there.
And children, go help Kale make his stop animation.
Yes, please. I don't know how that's going to go, having my children's studio, but...
You know. The notion of like, Kale Atkinson opens a children's animation studio, and you just have each kid working on like 3 seconds of animation that ultimately strings together to be, hey guys, look, we made a book trailer for my new book. This is crazy. I didn't know this. I didn't see this happening.
I just go wild. I have to go off of what they start making.
Oh, see, there you go.
There was never a horse in this book. Oh, now I got to ride a horse in this thing.
Hey, speaking of which, how have school visits gone for you? Have you gotten to get into a couple of schools this year?
I haven't really had time to do.
Oh, you're busy.
I did a Skype visit, which is not the same, but still got to read my book on I think it was World Read Out Loud
Day. Yeah, World Read Aloud Day. Yeah.
And that was super fun and really cool. And they drew me a little poster and mailed it to me after, which was really awesome.
Aww.
Above my desk, which is super cool. But no, I haven't. I just haven't had the chance. That's the hardest thing I've found in Kidlit so far, is just that trying to like balance time, and I have just so many projects on the go and wanting to keep pushing out projects and do these ideas that I have.
Yes.
And then trying to get that other side where it's the sharing your book or trying to get your book out there. And so that's something I'm still kind of working on. But
well, I'm glad you're working hard. I'm glad that you are getting out every once in a while, but that you're making good books too. That's important. And you know, hey, people are listening. We can find you on Twitter. We can find you in places and reach out and see if Skype opportunities are available and if the timing works out. And then you get to connect with those readers that you know are writing for, which is always a win.
Yeah, and I'm all for like anything I can do from here. Like if there are teachers or librarians or whoever that are into like Skype visits or wanting anything like that, like I'm totally happy to try to work out some time or when that would work out best. And then otherwise, like you said, like social media, I'm always on the Twitter and all that stuff and happy to like answer any questions or if anybody wants to say anything. And I'm always trying to answer everyone. So
Yeah.
if I don't answer you can always just keep poking me and eventually I will. But
You're very kind, you're very gentlemanly on social media. I'll give you credit for that. You
thank you.
do
Sometimes.
respond in places where I was like, "Aw, I was just telling him that I thought his stuff looked pretty. You didn't need to say anything back."
I
But it's
gotta
good.
respond to that stuff.
So,
That's
but I mean, I say that because then I think, well, imagine this is a person that is willing to interact on social media, which you certainly no one has to. But if you then put that in place as a librarian, as a teacher, and have kids on our, on our library Twitter accounts and our library resources like that, where we can reach out, email over you or what have you, to know that there's a person on the other end that, while it might be a long distance for you to come visit us in person, it's not such a bad distance to be able to connect with us virtually and make that connection. That's a cool thing that kids don't often get to do. So to see that they can interact that way, I think it's a really cool opportunity.
Yeah, and nowadays, like with social media and obviously just the internet in general, like we are all so connected. Like even though I'm, up West Coast Canada, it's like we're all still, sitting in the same room in a lot of other ways. And so I'm always stoked and super happy to be able to connect and do that. And I always want to answer people just because if anybody like put that time out to actually comment to me. Like when you just send me a comment saying you like a piece of art, I mean, that took you time to actually decide to write me something. And I always want to respond to that stuff because whenever I would be on the other side and whenever I'd message anyone or somebody that I enjoyed their work or whatever, or when I was trying to get a job and do my portfolio, anybody that ever answered me, it always meant the world to me. And so I always wanted to like return the favor because it just makes sense.
Well, Kale, I'm going to give you final say on this conversation tonight because we're talking about the kids and talking about reaching them. So I'm going to see a library full of children tomorrow morning. What message would you like me to bring to them from you?
Well, you already kind of touched on it when you were talking earlier a little bit, but I mean, the main thing I would just say is to keep reading. And keep dreaming and dreaming big, and then never stop exploring. And I mean, that could be like exploring outside in the wild and finding things, or it could be exploring to find what you love to do and what your passion is. I mean, it could mean whatever you want it to mean. It could be always changing, but to never stop exploring. And kind of like we were just talking about, like never flatline, like keep trying things and yeah.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 250 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if the episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook and Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, Julia Dinos joins me to share Swatch, the girl who loved color. Her picture book debut as both the book's author and illustrator, And after that, John Patrick Green visits to talk about Hippopotamister, his debut graphic novel as both author and cartoonist. See you then, and thanks for listening.
We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.